You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on WJFF.
And that's my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
The show is like mother, like son?
Yes. That's right, with
really?
A question mark.
With a question mark.
You know, it's a mother-son thing.
Ramsey, this is more important than anything else coming my way today.
Okay.
To change it. You want to be a richer man.
Listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio JFF. This is my mother, Patricia Adams.
And that's my son, Ramsey Adams.
We're in the studio with our producer, Mark Sutton.
Our guest today is the subject of the documentary Paternal Instinct. He joins us now. Eric Coulisade, welcome to Like Mother, Like Son.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Eric, as Mark just said, you and your partner, Mark, are subjects of this really quite successful movie, Paternal Instinct. So I'd like for you to just tell us about it.
Paternal Instinct is a documentary, and so it's not a dramatization, of Mark's and my, sort of some of our decision-making, but also just really basically our quest to have children as a gay couple in the late 90s and early aughts. And it was directed by a guy named Murray Nossel, who approached us. When he heard that we were thinking about having children, he approached us in 1998 and asked if he could just follow us with a camera and see what happened. And amazingly enough, it's sort of an amazing journey, and Paternal Instinct is the final product of that.
As well as the two daughters.
As well as two daughters, really, I believe, who are 6 and 4 now.
So this is a really interesting film on a number of levels. First of all, I got to say, I love the title because, you know, the title of our radio show is Like Mother, Like Son. We're doing a play on Like Father, Like Son.
Yeah.
And the title of the movie, of which you are a subject, Paternal Instinct, is a play on the more commonly used maternal instinct.
That's right.
And, Eric, my understanding, I may be wrong, is that you had the strongest instinct for having biological children. You almost had to convince Mark that that was a good idea.
It was not so much the biological children, but just having children at all.
Right.
I mean, you know, as we tell it, really, it probably we've been together at the time when we actually had Cecilia. We'd been together 11 years, and it had sort of gone in waves a little bit on either side, but Mark had finally given me a deadline and said, you know, if we don't have children by the time I'm 37, then we're not going to do it at all. and so I finally started to put it together, and sort of serendipitously we ran into a single gay man who found an attorney in Boston who he was working with, and I'm not one who really likes to do research, so I called up the attorney, and I liked him enough, so I said, will you work with us, and we put together the paperwork. Of course, we missed...
You mean before you found a mother or anything, that was the first thing you did?
Was to find an attorney.
That's interesting.
And I was going to add that, of course, we missed Mark's deadline by 3 years, but he's still happy about it.
Well, the whole process took a long time.
It did. I mean, we you know, like I said, we probably met this gay man in 1997, this summer, and we spent that winter. I think I reached out to this attorney, his attorney up in Boston, and he sent me a pack of paperwork that we need to fill out, you know, with
for a surrogate.
For a surrogate, exactly.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
And why did you choose when? The mother.
Wait. Sorry, Eric, go back. I'm a little confused. What actually goes down here? You and Mark decide you want to have your own kids. And since there's no woman in the picture, you have to find one?
Yes.
Because obviously only a woman can birth a child.
Yes. I mean,
So you go talk to a lawyer and try to find a woman who will do this?
Yes. I mean, there are... Well, first of all, I think we... I don't know exactly what the chronology was, but we actually... There was a time when we actually were talking to Mark's sister about donating an egg to us. Or even... Actually, I think she was even willing to carry a child. She considered carrying a child for us, and that way it really would truly have been virtually our own biological child. It was not the right time in her life to do that for us. So we... Yes, and in order, and sort of one of the paths that gay people take to having families is gay men in particular, is to, you know, there are attorneys out there now, and there's even, and things have changed and evolved tremendously, even since we went through this process. But at the time, there were attorneys. There was one agency in California called Growing Generations that would that actually had a very sort of was a business or an agency set up to help gay couples have biological children.
So he actually directed you to the woman who you chose? Because I thought it looked in the movie like you found her on the web.
What happened was we sent him a package full of our materials, and he had an assistant, and he's, the web was still fairly new then. He had an assistant at that time who decided that she would see what happened by posting the profiles of some of their couples on the web. And so she posted our profile on the web, and Wen was indeed sort of cruising the web. She had actually been trying to work with another gay couple in Chicago. It hadn't worked out. And so she was back out looking for someone, and she came across our profiles and liked what she saw. And so she found John. And
the attorney. And then
John,
he got
the attorney,
to you.
And he put, she sent then put together her paperwork and sent it to us.
Tell me just about your first meeting with her. I'm just interested in literally the first time you saw her and how you felt about it. I mean, obviously you felt positive because you chose her.
We did. I mean, we sort of knew just even over the phone. I mean, we were very optimistic even from just the initial paperwork and from an initial phone conversation we'd had with her. And we were all clearly all ready to go because, I think we had our first phone conversation. Within a week, we had arranged to meet each other in Boston.
Eric, some people here in the WJFF area have seen the movie because it was one of the benefit for WJFF. I believe your director, Murray Nossel, has a home up in this part of New York State. I'm not sure.
He does. He absolutely does. He and his partner and actually some friends have had a house in Lordville.
In Pennsylvania. Okay.
No, Lordville. Lordville, oddly enough, is in New York.
Oh, it's in New York.
It's across the river. It might as well be in Pennsylvania because you almost can't get anywhere in New York from there. You have to go to Pennsylvania to get most anywhere, but it isn't actually New York.
So, but back again to the choice of the mother, I think it's that some people know about it. But what was it about her? How old was she? I know people know she was married. She already had a son who was about 13, I think.
Yeah.
And a husband. And you felt that her family supported her. But what were her reasons for doing this?
Well, her reasons were, she is a very, she's very motivated by equity and I don't want to call it, it's sort of politics with a small p. I mean, she really wanted to. She felt strongly about moving the definition of family forward. I mean, she really, when she was set out to be a surrogate, she did not want to be a surrogate for a straight couple.
So it was a political thing for her, too. So
it was definitely
social political.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Sociopolitical.
And we'll be right back with Eric Coulisade. You're listening to Like Mother, Like Son on Radio Jeff.
Welcome back to Like Mother, Like Son, and we're talking to Eric Coulisade, who with his partner Mark decided to have two children by a surrogate mother. Okay, Eric, you were talking about Wen and her commitment to expanding, or how you put it, expanding the definition of family, or
evolving
maybe
the definition of family. She had her own child, Drew, very young, and to some degree, she'd always felt also a little bit deprived of really. She loved being pregnant. She loved being pregnant. She didn't consider herself, a lover of maternity, and so she really felt like she could she would enjoy being pregnant, enjoy the power. She feels like pregnancy is one of those real powers of women, and that it's, you know, and so she loved to experience it. And but
she also loves ceremonies.
And she loves ceremonies, and so she just you know, anyway, so she thought she could do it, and it, and we met her in that place, and it became so obvious that we just, you know, it's just one of those things where you feel at ease with someone right away when we sat across the table from each other in that diner.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, you know, I don't know if, you know, she was a member of the Universalist Unitarians, and we had that appealed to us, and also the fact that she was a Wiccan also appealed to us.
Why?
Because Mark's mother is also sort of considers herself a Wiccan and into alternative spirituality or different forms of female spirituality or women's spirituality there was just a very strong kind of empathy.
Well, you know, one of the things that it said, sort of the tagline for this movie, is that two gay men hire a witch to be the surrogate mother, or contact a witch through the internet.
Yeah.
To be, you know, and so one of the buzzwords from this movie was witch.
Yeah.
And so before I saw the movie, I thought, oh, that's probably, you know, this is going to be really kind of freaky. But it really turned out, I mean, witch is not exactly the right word, I don't think. I mean, she seems to be more like a Wiccan or a pagan or something like that.
She is definitely a Wiccan, and I think that using witch was a way of, you know, publicity.
That was a little Hollywood edge to the whole thing.
Exactly.
Speaking of, I mean, Eric, it must have been an interesting, I mean, the process to, one, to, you know, to have this alternative family and going through it all, but then also to decide to film every inch of it. I mean, I know you grew up on a vegan compound in Portland, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily think of it given my background.
I mean, you went to Yale, Harvard,
grew up
in the Hudson Valley. And you let a camera into your life and your family's life, extended family, to film everything, right?
Everything. Much more than you see on camera, even. You know, I think there were something like 200 hours of footage, and they were showing up at every kind of family event that we went to for a long time.
And how did that go over with your mom and pop and your bro and your sis?
You know, there would be moments when you'd sort of say, can we just have one holiday without Murray with us? And I think, you know, my mom felt like it imposed on them to some degree. But, you know, he was not that intrusive. And I have to say, I think both Mark and I, and certainly all three of us, when Mark and I would say that, he provided such valuable sort of counseling services. You know?
No, really? That's interesting.
It gave us a chance to talk things out as we were going through them. And as you know by the story, you know, it was that there were a lot of difficult moments. You know, we had the miscarriage.
Right.
We went through many, many months of not getting pregnant.
I remember actually one scene that's interesting, the fact that you had jury duty. So you weren't sure that was a good time for insemination. I mean, the realities of life like jury duty interfere no matter what kind of family you have.
Yeah, it's very true. So I think in the end, all of us felt like it was great having Murray around, but it was sort of, intense. I mean, you know, it was just a lot of having him. But Mark and I, you know, I don't know whether it's because we're gay or whatever, but I mean, it's certainly not all gay couples like this, but, you know, we don't have much of a privacy sphere. Our privacy sphere is very, very small, and we both saw the opportunity to share an extraordinary journey, and obviously we trusted Murray. You know, if this had been just any person off the street, I'm not sure we would have done it, but Murray was someone we knew.
So you think this is a great message for not only just gay families, but the concept of family,
I think it's pretty universal about, you know, purposeful family making, you know, just... I think it really explores universal themes about...
Well, Eric, what about the implications for your two kids? I mean, I can imagine if I... my birth and, you know, conception, every second of that was filmed, and I, you know, when I'm 14 in high school, all my friends know everything about me.
Yeah.
Ramsey,
you've definitely touched on a sort of what is a sensitive point, less so for me than for Mark. I think Mark was actually quite concerned about when the movie was going to come out. You know, we leave was born in 2002, and it took some time to complete the film, and it came out in 2004, and Cece by that time was 4 years old. And we were, you know, Mark was a little worried about whether they'd somehow be identified or picked out or somehow, you know, have a different experience of childhood because of this film. And, you know, it never reached that broad an audience for that to happen, and they were also young enough. But I think that, you know, Murray's sometimes talking about doing a sequel, checking in with us again, and Mark has real concerns about when we do that because, you know, he doesn't want to have the girls sort of have to be in the spotlight.
Well, I like Murray in a way. I'd like to check in now 5 years later and see how things are going. And I'm curious about parenting. And as a mother, I'm wondering if you or Mark find yourself playing more of a maternal or fraternal role.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that if you look at the film, Mark and I will look at the film and laugh because, you know, there are some interviews in the film between Mark and me, and I think in California at the very beginning, you know, talking about which one of us expected to be the more maternal.
Right.
And if you recall, you know, there's a scene where I say, you know, where I think Mark's mother looks at me and says, "Eric, I see you as the mother figure," and I say some kind of offhand remark like, "Yeah, just a big old girl me." But I think that's the assumption we both went into it with, is that that would be the case. And,
right.
You know, while I think our roles are far more blended than that, in many ways, Mark is more maternal, I would say.
That's interesting, yeah.
I mean, I'm the one who's more jealous of retaining my job and my career and things like that. And Mark, you know, probably if he could, he might just, he would really ratchet back and be a lot more time around the house. And he's often the one that's racing home to make sure he relieves our caregiver and things like that.
Right.
So.
This is a very personal question, but the two children have the same mother, but
yes.
Different fathers.
Yeah.
And I would assume just from human nature, you have to make sure you don't have a preference, if you know what I mean.
I think that's an issue that's unique to us, right? I mean, I think it comes up for any couple, even straight couple where both kids are both of theirs, right?
Right, that's true.
But I would say, oddly enough, if you had to, you know, look at it, I would say in some ways the cross bonds are very strong. I mean, it's ironic. I mean, I'd say in some ways Cecilia and I are more of, you know, there's a very strong cross genetic bonds.
Right.
You know, Cecilia is Mark's child and Liv is mine. And while I think we are very good about being a foursome and being pretty equitable, I think in some ways there's a little bit of a natural affiliation across the genes. And sometimes I wonder whether it's not part of the choice that Mark and I made in each other, you know.
Right.
Speaking of choices, it seems like this is something that's probably getting more and more common. And there have been a lot of sort of issues in the political arena related to this, and I was wondering, obviously this is a very personal movie, but was there any political feelings on your part in doing this movie that you wanted to get the word out, or you wanted to show people very clearly, very graphically, what the process of having biological children is like for a gay couple?
You know, I think that is definitely sort of how we went into it. I would say that, you know, our journey ended up being unique enough, even in the sort of gay family sphere, that it ends up being a pretty one-off kind of story. I mean, you know, I don't know anyone who – Mark and I don't know any other gay couples that were doing inseminations at home who, you know, had a mother who were in the birth pool with the mother at her house. You know, there was a lot of intimacy. We were on a way more intimate journey than any other gay couple I know.
I got you, babe.
Welcome back to Like Mother, Like Son. We're talking with Eric Coulisade. He is the subject of the documentary Paternal Instinct. For people who haven't seen this movie yet, I just have to say that there is a scene in the movie. I guess this is a spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but there is the scene that Eric was referring to there of when the birth of Cecilia, your first daughter, happened. Tell us about that scene.
The birth was, you know, it was extraordinary. I mean, you know, it's...
Was that in her tub?
That it's in a, you know, that was in her house.
This was in the surrogate mother's home, and she was in water with both you and Mark.
That's right. She had wanted to use a midwife. She did not want to give birth in a hospital, which I think, you know, some people would have been uncomfortable with, but Mark and I really believed in her vision of how this was all going to happen. And so we went up, and, you know, she called us about a week before she actually gave birth, thinking she was going to give birth earlier. But we went up and just lived with her in her house for at least a week before Cecilia was born. Actually, I think we were there for 10 days before Cecilia was born. And yes, she decided of a home birth. The midwife, you know, we were all sort of in with the midwife. The midwife had, you know, there was a waiting pool, a plastic waiting pool that was all ready to be inflated and filled with warm water the day of. You know, Wen's husband was a huge help in all regard, keeping the whole thing moving together. And so, the morning that she really started going into labor, we were all sort of trying to support Wen and holding her in the water and being in the water, and we all, Mark and I, alternated and.
Was that all planned out, that you were going to be in the water with her?
That's what we'd always designed. Yeah, that's the way we'd always envisioned it, absolutely.
Okay, great. So now you can go back and finish your other point about
the only other point was just that it is sort of interesting how, you know, we find ourselves in a very unique position now, because by and large, you know, the way these surrogate families have evolved is, you know, what we did, which is called traditional surrogacy, which is where the surrogate donates her own egg, or, you know, you are the child is the surrogate's child, and that has become increasingly rare among gay surrogacy arrangements, just because and now it's much more done with what they call gestational surrogacy, where you go out and find an egg donor, you do a clinical fertilization in a petri dish, and then you insert the eggs into the carrier's womb, and people do that as sort of a protection mechanism. You know, it's an additional.
So the carrier is not the biological mother.
The carrier is not the biological mother, exactly. And people do that as a way to protect themselves. You know,
legally, so the mother doesn't say, "Well, this is my child, and now I want it." And then you're kind of you spend time and money, and you don't have your
you
child.
You protect from maternal instincts.
That's right, exactly. and Mark and I are really such strong believers in what we did and the relationship we have with Wen now.
Which continues to be positive.
The girls call Wen Mommy. You know, it's just, you know, for them, Mommy lives in Maine. It has really been an extraordinarily powerful sort of relationship we've kept going.
It is amazing.
Eric, it sounds to me like, I mean, it's a very complicated process from beginning to end, and it couldn't have been cheap from the sounds of it. You got lawyers and surrogates and
yeah, you'd have to pay
professional
for her expenses, right?
Yeah.
And traveling, and, I mean, was it as expensive as it sounds like it was?
Well, you know, it was by many measures, absolutely. But, you know, when you compare it to the kind of money that people are spending today, you know, we got off very cheaply. I mean, you know, I think, you know, as the movie discloses, you know, I think that we quickly settled on $13,000 for Wen. That was what she wanted, sort of free and clear. And then, yes, we paid, you know, her out-of-pocket expenses, and we paid the attorney. But, you know, I would say it still was, the whole thing was, you know, and it went on because of the fact we didn't get pregnant for so long, Cecilia. It probably went on. We probably spent $30,000 to $35,000 all told. But in the final analysis, that seems very cheap, especially when people are spending $100,000 to $150,000 now.
Eric,
it's really sort of become prohibitive.
I know, without going into a lot of detail, you and Mark adopted the two girls,
yep,
so that for legal reasons. Now, if there were gay marriage in New York, yep, would that have been much simpler and different, or would that have taken care of the legalities without what you had to do in terms of adoption?
You know, Pat, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
It sort of depends on how they would define those rights. I mean, I don't even know if, you know, if if two straight people got married and one was not the biological parent of the other one's child, you know, do you have to adopt? I'm not even sure about how that works.
Okay.
But clearly, if we are there, certainly, you know, gay marriage would make enormous difference to us, you know, in other ways. I mean, you know, it's a little bit crazy that, you know, Mark and I have to manage our estate because, you know, between married people, you know, my IRA or Mark's IRA, you know, if we were married, you know, if one of us was to die for some reason, the other one would just inherit it without paying taxes. But
right.
Our relationship isn't recognized, I mean, we have to manage for that. Otherwise, we're going to be hit by taxes twice, you know, all over the place. So people know.
The movie is Paternal Instinct, and it got amazing reviews. I mean, that's one thing that was just, you know, warm and fuzzy, says the New York Times. And, you know, just across the board, especially in the New York media, and I think nationally out in California.
And it's on Cinemax, too, right? Can people see it on cable?
They can still, I think it's still on Cinemax periodically, but if it's not on Cinemax, it has moved over to Logo, which, as you may be aware, is a lesbian gay channel that was recently started up by Viacom, I believe.
Okay. Now, Eric, as we're closing down, I just want to ask, are you Papa or Daddy?
Are
those
Papa.
The two names? Okay.
I'm Papa and Mark is Daddy.
How was that decided? Did you choose it yourself or?
Well, it's funny, Pat. This goes back to the very beginning when we were making those final steps to becoming parents. I had to start. Mark was like putting up the last roadblocks along the way, and so he said, "Well, if we're going to have kids, then, and we're going to have two kids, then I want to go first. Because I'm concerned that you, Eric, are going to establish this relationship with a child, so I want to at least have my genes in there." So I said, "Fine, you can go first." And then he said, "And I want them both to have the same last name, and I think it should be Eisenhardt." And I said, "Fine." And then the last thing was that he said, "Well, if we have kids, then I want to be Daddy." And I said, "Fine." That's when I was just like, whatever, just let's move on.
All right, well, you were the moving force there, it sounds like.
So speaking of moving on, I think we're going to move on right now, but this has been really great to have you here, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Eric. It's great to talk to you.
Hope to see you guys sometime soon.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.
We've been talking with Eric Coulisade, the subject of the movie Paternal Instinct. And if you would like to see the movie, you can see it on the Logo channel, and you can also rent it from your local video store.
Visit us online at www.likemotherlikeson.org and let us know what you think of the show.
Good night.